All right, you're on the Arms Room with Glenn.
And Drew.
And it is a wonderful pre-recorded show. Man, we've been doing way too many of these lately.
I know.
I miss the live shows, but...
One day.
Well, we got to do something.
One day.
Been busy lately, man.
We have.
We had to pre-record this one. We had to go out to California and train some wonderful nation's finest.
Yeah, they were good dudes.
They were. They were good guys.
Yeah, they were very good.
Happy to have the opportunity to work with good people. And got to see some friends out there.
We did.
Got to hang out. Got to run on the beach. Got to eat some beach food. Got to laugh at the Californians.
Oh my! It'd be pretty easy to overtake California.
I will say this. The mask thing wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's total bullshit. But I'm saying it wasn't as crazily enforced as I thought it would be. We were kind of in a small town, but
we still had to eat
smaller out. Smaller town.
Yeah. We still ate outside. There was no eating inside of
any
restaurant.
There was no restaurants where you could eat inside at all. And it was crazy because even like still they have still bathrooms that are closed.
Well, but the bathrooms were open because that.
Some of them.
Some of them were. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of them were open. Mm-hmm. A lot of real, you know, crazy stuff over there. Trained with, spent one day training with armed citizens, spent the next day training with some law enforcement. And the interesting aspect of training with the regular folks is some of the guns that they have. Like, so the bullet buttons are gone now, right?
Oh,
so now it's this new thing. I can't remember what they call it, the eighth inch reload or eighth something.
Oh my gosh.
It's a spring-loaded button that they push on the rear takedown of the AR. This just slightly shotguns it, just enough to take the magazine out of position so that you can then press the magazine release, then you remove the magazine. Then you lock your upper back to your lower. I mean, it literally is like an eighth of an inch, but you still have to basically break them open. Just a little bit. It catches so it doesn't sling all the way open. And then you have to shut that, and then... And now you're back to a normal reload. But you also aren't allowed to lock the bolt open.
Yeah.
On those ones. But now there was another student who they were trying to explain it to us, but I got lost in the bullshit. So I was just like, whatever, man. It sucks. Just say that. There's a certain number of required features. So he was allowed to have normal bolt catch, normal magazine release because he had a fixed stock, no flash hider, and this fucked up ugly grip that you couldn't actually wrap his fingers around.
That was a fucking weird-ass grip.
So because he had that, he could have normal bolt catch and mag release, which I definitely would go for. I would go for that over that eighth-inch reload shit.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Which was when we had one of those gals, when one of the gals had a malfunction, I'm like,
grab it by the barrel and start swinging, man. I don't even know what the fuck to do.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to let you open that because I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
That was some crazy shit, but... Yeah, they got through it. You know what? They're still over there trying.
They are.
And I'll tell you this.
If it were me, I would just still have my Arizona guns and just be like, fuck the world.
It was interesting to talk to the cops about it the next day. So we actually had one of the cops in the class.
The first day
with everyone else. And there were definitely some not California compliant guns there. And nobody gave a shit.
No.
Which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then in talking to that cop and then talking to the guys the next day, they were like, yeah, we don't fucking care.
And or didn't even know.
And then we couldn't even tell you what the laws are. We couldn't even tell you what the rules are. We don't even fucking know.
Here's the funniest
thing.
It's
because they change so often.
Here's the funniest thing that I took away from that class was they had a freedom week. Mind you, they called this week a fucking freedom week where they could buy 30-round mags and be indoctrinated into the law or whatever it is so that they can be able to have a 30-round mag now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you had to purchase these mags within the Freedom Week, which mm-hmm. is completely absurd to me.
Mm-hmm. You don't remember when that happened?
No.
It wasn't that long ago.
I don't
and it was
listen
like,
to the news.
In California, they sold – it was some insane amount of magazines. Like Magpul sold them all.
It was last year in March. And so even the cop was like, yeah, we don't fucking know those dates. So if we pull you over and we ask you when it was, we have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, I couldn't even tell you when that fucking was. He's like, but I loaded up just like everybody else. And even the cop was like, dude, once I'm done, I'm the fuck out of here and moving to Arizona. Because he was like, fuck this shit. He's like, I can't even handle. Most of the people that we had talked to and encountered were like, yeah, fucking California is just completely out of their minds. Like, they can't even figure out what the fuck they're doing, which is insane. But that Freedom Week blew my fucking mind. For some reason, I'd never heard of it before. And when I was told about it, I'm like, wait, you have to have a Freedom Week in America? Okay.
So that's the insane part.
Having a Freedom Week in America.
Yeah. So that you can, whatever.
Exercise your fucking freedom.
So anyways.
Okay, commie-fornia.
We went to California.
No.
And it was fucking crazy.
And then when we went back to America yesterday, it was like a sigh of relief.
Yeah. Yeah, when you cross that bridge and the GPS is like, welcome to Arizona.
I'm no, like, it's not GPS. Yes. It was our car.
Well, then my GPS says it too. Both
our,
of them.
Our car.
The car says it and the GPS says it.
Because the car is like, do you want to switch back over to America time?
Yeah.
Like, yes.
It fires off gunfire. So, yeah, but it was a good time, you know, whatever. We had fun. We met some great people, as always. Got to hang out with some friends. It was all good
stuff.
And,
you know, the weather is beautiful.
It was nice weather.
The scenery was awesome.
So I would say overall very, very successful.
We ran on the beach yesterday morning.
A nice beach, too.
Yeah, it was a nice beach. We literally ran and then drove home.
Yeah. It was a great beach, though.
Yeah, it was. It was very nice. Nice and secluded. There wasn't very many people out there.
Yeah, no, there wasn't.
Poor Tier couldn't run barefoot with us.
No, poor guy. So other than that, man, I can't even remember the last time we pre-recorded a show, did a live show, whatever. We've been so damn busy. We have so much training. We've got so much going on. I hate to say there's a couple more pre-recorded shows coming up on the schedule. Not for the next couple weeks, but in February, I know for sure. So
isn't next week we're up with Amy?
No, that's 25th of January.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, all that good stuff. So, patrons, thank you so much for your patronage. We really appreciate what you've got going on, and we appreciate the support. Don't worry. We still got the schoolhouse videos coming for you. I know it's delayed, but they will be here. All right? I will deliver on that promise, I swear. It is definitely going to happen. Make sure you're sending us your show ideas for the regular show and for the extra $10 show, which I guess we'll be doing that next week too, huh?
Yeah.
That's... Oh, my gosh, right? It just dawned on me. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah.
Holy shit. We had a great New Year.
We did.
We took the kids, rented a big old freaking suite at the Arizona Grand, and had a blast there, man. Had an absolute blast.
Oh, my gosh.
Went to the water park there. Tons of fun.
Which it was heated.
Great shit.
Kind of, sort of.
It was, they were doing their best.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, it had a lazy river. It had
They had a wave pool. They had some water slides. They had a regular pool. We ended up actually kind of abandoning the water park, going back over to the Grand, hanging out in the regular pool, which was actually heated.
It was really nice.
And had a really nice hot tub.
Yeah.
Big hot tub.
Yeah. And it was funny because the lifeguards didn't care what you did in the lazy river all day.
All we did was fuck with each other in the lazy river.
You didn't have to be in a
tube. The little
tube
things at each other. We were trying to play ring toss with each other, on each other.
Garrett tried to knock me over and then ended up falling in himself. I thought that was pretty comical.
So, yeah, they didn't give a damn.
Then there was this one guy.
There's always that one fucking guy.
That he changed. We were taking our nap, sunbathing. There's this one guy who all of a sudden started yelling at everybody. Like,
yelling
you
at kids.
Need to get...
Do this, do that. I'm like, dude, yeah. There's nobody here. Chill out. But if you've never been, it's really cool. They have food and drink service right there. Beautiful. Tons and tons of space this time of year. Holy shit. It was awesome. Rates were great, too. So, yeah, all kinds of good stuff, man. Really appreciated it. So, I'm going to mention what I'm going to mention next. I have a point to this, all right? There have been lately a lot of problems within Green Beret groups. A lot of those problems have focused primarily around guys who aren't handling things well. One of them went down and shot up a bowling alley. One of them shot through their fucking wall and hit a neighbor.
I don't even know anything
about
this.
Another commander got relieved of duty. I'm not going to name the groups or the people involved in them because that's irrelevant to the point of you take a whole bunch of high-stress, high-functioning individuals and don't give them something to do. make sure, my fellow brothers and sisters out there, that you're checking on your people.
Yeah.
All right. Check on your people and make sure they're doing okay. Even if they're home with their family, all right, check on them and make sure they're doing okay. More than once have I made a phone call to somebody who was just like, man, I'm really fucking struggling. It's like, and it didn't look like they were. I just happened to be chit-chatting with them about something else entirely. So don't forget to call your people. You know what I'm talking about if you know what I'm talking about. All right? Just call them up and check on them. I don't care if they're across the country. I don't care if you haven't seen them in a couple of years. Call them up. Find out how they're doing, man. Make sure that they're adjusting, that they're okay. They haven't fallen into drugs. They're not hooked on some bullshit from the VA. Just check on them, right? People need to know that you care. If you care, they need to know that. Don't fucking assume that people in your life, this is for everybody, don't assume that people in your life know you care. Tell them that you care. And that's the only way they're going to know, for sure. And yep. You'll know for sure that they know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know what else is going on. Oh, protesters just stormed the Senate floor. That's fun.
Yeah, I heard that.
Cool. Burn the place down. I don't give a fuck. On to other news. Mm-hmm. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Here's my Redwire Gear Moment. Don't get so locked into one brand that you forget to look around.
Mm-hmm.
I have been guilty of that. For sure. And recently switched brands on a couple of different products that I use every single day pretty much. And was really pleased to find some really awesome changes. Holsters, optics mounts, a couple of things. So don't get too dogmatic about your brand selection or brand loyalty. It's good to be loyal. That's important in life. But don't forget to take a look around and make sure that you're exploring all your options, right? Ask other people for their opinion. Find out other people's, you know, why they're using what they're using. And you might be surprised. You might find something that you like and maybe you didn't think you were going to like. So there you go. Redwire Gear brought to you by RedwireGear.com. All right. Our show topic today is how to be an asset to your family and your community. Now, specifically what we're talking about here is how to just overall be an asset. Just not a tactical dynamo, but just how to be an asset. And part of it's just what I was just talking about, letting people know that you care. So the first thing that starts, I think, with being an asset is keeping in mind the zones, all right? The zones, as we often teach in our MAST program, zone one is self. Zone two is family. Whatever that means to you. When we say family, we mean whatever that means to you, whatever your family is. Zone three is community. And zone four is your life, all the things outside of that, the big picture, right? Your country, whatever. Zone one is self. If you want to be an asset, you got to take care of yourself first. In medicine, we teach you're the number one patient. In fighting, we teach how important it is, obviously, to stay mobile and stay conscious. Keep yourself up and running. In survival, we teach about how important it is to keep yourself alive. You are the most important person in your life. And we neglect ourselves often in the best interest of others. If you're a dad, if you're a mom, if you're a really good friend, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You neglect yourself. You eat last. You don't hit that gym because you're too busy with the kids. You neglect your own education and personal growth to make sure you can take care of the education and personal growth of somebody else. And that seems selfless and wonderful. And it can be until you start suffering from that. And we're all, I think, suffering a little bit from that, where we forget to take care of ourselves and we get so wrapped up in taking care of the people around us, friends, family, whatever it may be. Zone one is self. You have to take care of yourself first. you want to be an asset to your friends, your family, your community, you have to be the best version of you that you can be. That might include things like getting yourself some fucking counseling. I can't recommend it enough. I've talked to people before about counseling, other men mostly, and they're like, oh, no, I don't need that. You know, I'm fine. I'm fine. And I'm like, you just saying that to me right now tells me you fucking need it.
Yeah.
We're all imperfect people raised and taught by imperfect people who are just funneling their shit into you. And then you are now just funneling that shit into your kids. Like, if you're a parent, especially, man, get some fucking counseling, man. Correct your crazy shit. I've done it a lot. I'm doing it right now. I'll happily tell anybody, hey, there's periods of my life I'm in and out of it. I have no problem whatsoever being involved in it because it makes me a better version of me. And it's tough, man. You get a good counselor and you get a jerk off counselor, fucking kick them to the curb, right? They're shitty counselors just like they're shitty plumbers. Mm-hmm. They're not all created equal, but you get a good one. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because they will push you, they will challenge you, they will not take you. Drew experienced how much my counselor will get fucking rough and tumble with me.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to a session with me and we were running late. And I got her on the phone, and she wasn't nice at all.
And then when we got there in person, she still wasn't nice.
Yeah.
And then proceeded to chew you out again.
And that's important.
Yeah.
Because
accountability. Now you'll never be late again.
She's holding me to not just that standard of, hey, you need to be on time. But remember, she's counseling me. She's responsible for my personal growth. So to her, that's a much bigger problem than just, oh, hey, I'm going to be a couple minutes late. Sorry.
Well, because it wasn't also the first time that you've done that to her.
No, absolutely not.
Which is why she was so rough and tumbly.
And there's a repeated behavior.
Correct.
And that's her fucking job, is to stop that shit from happening.
And she even said she'd quit you if you kept doing
it. Exactly. And I've known this woman for years. And when she said that, my fucking heart sank. Yeah. Honestly, I was like, oh, no, not that. I need you. So, I mean, that's the kind of counselor you want.
Yeah.
You want someone who's going to put you to task.
Yeah, and hold you accountable mm-hmm. for your own actions because you can't have growth if you're not willing mm-hmm. to change. Just like in shooting, if you cannot handle being scrutinized by what you're doing wrong and you can't handle a little heat about it, then you're fucking in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out. You just wasted your money training if you're not willing to take a professional's changes, modifications, and helpfulness.
And at least try.
Yeah.
Not everything my counselor, for example, has ever said was perfect.
Correct.
Because she's also still doing the best
she can.
She can.
She's right? also constantly learning.
She's also imperfect. Correct. Right? She just knows more.
Shocker.
About what's going on with me. Right. It's like this. And this is not just counseling, it's kind of everything. But when I first started going to counseling, this is how I described it to my counselor. I said, when shooters come to me, they often say, like, I'm lining up the sights, I'm pressing the trigger, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not hitting the target. Why? That's how I feel about my life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm lining up the sights, I'm pressing the trigger, I'm holding my tongue in the right place, I'm standing on one foot, I'm doing all the shit I'm supposed to be fucking doing, and I'm not hitting the target. Why am I not hitting the target? And she looks at me as a shooter from the outside perspective, like you mentioned, Drew, that professional's perspective, and said, oh, hey, look at that. I see what you're doing wrong. I can be – Drew, see me do it. I'll be in a class of 20 shooters. I can look down the line 12 fucking shooters. I'll be on one end. I'll look over everybody, see the 12th shooter down the line, and immediately beeline for him and go, let me tell you how to fix what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how many fucking shooters I have seen at this point? You know how many times I've seen that thing done
yeah.
over and over and over again? You know, the cops we were just working with earlier this week, it was like, holy shit, man. How much did we improve the majority of those guys? They weren't doing anything horrible. They weren't doing anything new to us. I've seen all that shit before.
Mm-hmm.
It just – they couldn't tell. There was one guy – who was so frustrated with his pistol shooting that when we transitioned from rifle to pistol, I mean, he sank. He was just like, fuck. you know, and I watched him shoot. And he was super frustrated, and then we broke for lunch, and then during lunch, I pulled him to the side, and I said, hey, man, we're going to fix what you have going on. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no one's been able to fix what I have going on. And I go, just you fucking wait. You know, I said, I tell you what, man, money back guarantee. His agency was paying for it, so money back guarantee. I'll fucking fix it.
And you did.
By the end of the fucking day, he's shooting single-handed lights out. Because of literally one thing that we showed him. Mm-hmm. Just one changed everything
for
him.
A lot of those guys, they were so hot to trot in the beginning, but then they accepted that they were doing things wrong.
Because we showed them. We showed them how to make mistakes.
We held them to an acceptable standard, they were like, oh, you're right. I am not as good as I thought I was.
Yeah.
And then they accepted the critique, and then they applied it. One of the guys who won Top Shot could barely fucking hit the target.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when he started, he was one of the rougher shooters, and by the end, he won Top Shot.
Yeah.
And beat out the guy I definitely had my money on.
Who had been considered.
He was a competition shooter and super active, and actually was like the main dude who pulled us in. And I'm like, oh, he's going to win. You know?
And he was a great shooter.
Phenomenal shooter, yeah.
And it was just because accuracy over.
Accuracy over speed, man. The kid pulled it off, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's one of those things where I want someone to look at me and tell me, why am I not hitting the target? And my friends can tell me, just like I, as a shooter, I can go to the range with my buddy who's a Navy SEAL, and I can go over my cousin, he's a cop, and my buddy over here, he owns a bunch of guns, and we all go shooting, and they're all like, oh man, you gotta do it like this, and you gotta do it like this, you gotta do it like this. And I'm like, what the fuck are you giving me for advice for? You can barely fucking shoot. Maybe they're better than me, and so I'm trying to get at least as good as them, but they still aren't where they need to be.
Yep.
Blind leading the blind, you know? And that's how it is sometimes when we go to our friends and our family. We're like, hey, man, you know, I'm having this problem in my life. And you need those good friends and family. You need those sounding boards. Mostly they keep you from murdering people. That's the way I look at it. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And they're like, yeah, that's a good idea. It's a bad idea. You know, hey, I love you, so I'm going to look out for you kind of thing. But in the end, you're going to need a professional's eye to look at you and say, this is why you're not hitting the target.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same reason. That if you're not going to counseling – you ought to fucking consider it.
Yep.
And don't be afraid of couples counseling either. It doesn't mean you're broken.
And it doesn't mean that you're having marital problems. It just means that you want to be a better partner.
I want to be the best way I can
be. Possibly can. I mean, we do it, and there's nothing wrong with us. And most people hear when they go to counseling, oh, you're having issues. Are you okay? What's going on? People want to know when you talk about going to counseling. Like, nothing's going on.
You're like, imagine all my shots are landing in the 9 ring, and that's pretty fucking good. But what if they all landed in the 10 ring?
Yeah.
Wouldn't I be better with that performance? Wouldn't I be happier with that performance? Of course I would. So what if in a relationship, the majority of my shots are landing in the 8 and the 9 ring, but what if they could all be in the 10 ring? Right? And from a counseling perspective, single or couples. I mean, this is just starting, right? This is how to work on being an asset. Look inside. Start looking at books you can read, groups you can join. You know, man, there's so many great groups out there you can be a part of that will help you be a better version of yourself, you know?
And don't think that if you get to the point where you really like who you are to stop continuing the growth and development, because that's where you fall back into bad habits.
Or you plateau. And you can't get any better. If I don't accept, I'm a pretty accomplished shooter, I'm pretty good. Right? Most of the time, someone throws down the gauntlet, I can fucking pick it up and run with it. That doesn't mean I don't have lots of fucking places to improve on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if I just accept, I'm pretty good. I'm better than most of these people, so I'll be fine. If I accept that, then I now just plateaued. I stagnated. And that's usually when I start to drop. That's when you're going to get worse, is when you think, oh, I'm the best. It's like my father used to say about guys on the job site. He would say anytime someone thinks they are irreplaceable, they just became replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you think you're irreplaceable, you start acting like you're irreplaceable. And the next thing you know, you're fucking replaceable. You've stagnated. You've plateaued. Other people are soaring above you. Other people are trying harder than you because they want to be at least as good, if not better than you. And you're not trying at all, so fuck you, you're gonna left behind.
Yep.
You have to not fucking die. So if you want to be an asset to your family and your community, you have to not die. Mm-hmm. That means taking fun, necessary risks, maybe a few unnecessary risks, but not over-the-top insane risks.
Yeah.
If you got a family and community to take care of. It means being physically fit to the point you're not going to get really sick, or when you do get sick, you're going to bounce back quickly enough. If you get injured, you're going to bounce back quickly enough. It means taking care of yourself, and that's not just hitting the gym, everybody. It also means maybe taking some supplements to help you out. It means watching your diet, man, the fuel that you put in your body. We just had Garrett on the show with us a couple weeks ago talking about, you know, the difference between organic and non-organic stuff. And I was at the grocery store this morning. I'm trying to get everything I can organic now.
And unfortunately, it is more expensive.
It is.
That does suck.
But I will say it's not, oh my God, more expensive. Right. It is, you're like, oh, fuck, this is like a little bit more. But it's not like, oh, shit, I'm now no longer going to be able to pay my rent expense.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. But you got to not die. You want to be an asset, you got to not die.
Yep.
You got to take care of yourself. Yes, physical fitness, as we've talked about on the show, I think just about every damn week, is important. Mm-hmm. But that's not it. You can't just go out and run and lift weights. You got to do more than that. You got to take care of your physical body. You got to make sure you don't overdo it. You got to make sure you don't stress things out and injure yourself. Yeah. You got to make sure you're not so broken down that if sickness hits you, COVID or whatever it may be, you don't get so fucking sick that you're down and out.
Yeah.
You got to physically take care of yourself. You want to be an asset? You've got to mentally take care of yourself more than just what we were talking about with counseling. But you've got to start looking at your own education. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 20, 30, 50, 80. You should constantly be looking to educate yourself.
Yep.
Reading books. Watch fucking documentaries. Constantly learn about the world around you.
Keep your mind sharp and healthy, because it's not just about your body. It's about your mind as well.
Be a student of history.
Yeah.
We were in at that range in California this past weekend. A friend of ours was telling us about this old dude who's at the range. And he moves boulders on the range without using any machinery. He just mechanically figures out how to move big-ass fucking rocks from one place to another. And he's 90 years old. And I'm like, I bet that dude's mind is sharp, you know, at least in that aspect. Mm-hmm. Because he's constantly having to problem solve, constantly having to weigh out pros and cons, balances, benefits, making little math equations, building things, contriving things. He doesn't have anything else to do. He's just moving big rocks around. But the point is, like, do everything you can to be sharp. If you're sucked into that 9-to-5 grind, if you're sucked into that daily life, find ways to sharpen your mind. I don't care if instead of whatever game is popular these days on the phone, if instead of that you jam on, an educational game. I like that Wordscapes game.
Yeah, it's a super fun game.
You know, it's a fun little game. You jump on there. You got to spell different words. You got to figure out what – I mean, some of them are hard, man. I've gotten stumped more than once. Pretty damn tough.
Yeah.
And it just teaches you more words, and it teaches you new ways to look at things, and it teaches you how to pay more attention to what you've been given. Find educational games to play. Play board games. Play chess. Play checkers. Play these old school games that were built for a freaking reason. Go back and play those games. You know, I find modern games, we bought some of the modern games for the kids. They're not as fun.
No, they aren't.
They're super complex. They've got lots and lots of shiny pieces, and they've got a lot of rules and all these. And they're not particularly challenging. You know?
Yeah.
So that really sucks, because it's like I don't have an opportunity to really challenge myself with these games. All I can really do is play by the rules, and that's it. You go back to the old Monopoly. You go back to even freaking Uno. You know, I mean, there's a certain amount of strategy to that. Like, go back to the old games kind of we grew up on, and there's a lot more challenge, right? Risk, Stratego. Axis and Allies, I mean, man, these are games that, shit, man, hours and hours of my young life, days, months maybe, of my young life spent trying to outsmart somebody else, trying to outthink somebody else. It's a big deal. You got to keep that mental capability sharp. You got to manage your finances. I was talking to a guy one time years ago. The guy has just the heart of a lion. I mean, he's just this larger than life guy. He's such a great person. Just one of those people where you're like, that man is a good man, and he's just really great, and he's just a really fun guy to stand around and talk to, and he's got all this life experience. Barely fucking had two pennies to rub together. He broke his shit. Always wanted to help people. Yeah, he helped him with his time as much as he could, but he was a slave to his job. You know, helped him with his energy and his effort as much as he could, but he was a slave to limited resources. And I always used to think, man, if that guy had $10 million, right, and someone taught him how to manage his money better, imagine the wonderful things he could do out in the world. He would really have helped people way more than most people who have shitloads of expendable income.
Yeah.
You know? But he completely lacked the ability to do any of it because he was a slave in other aspects of his life. His health wasn't that good. He didn't take very good care of himself. But he had this amazingly big heart. So that kind of always stuck with me when I'm thinking about helping people financially or whatever. You can't help people. You can't take care of your family. You can't be a great asset if your finances are fucking upside down. If you're in tons of debt, you need to get out of debt. If you don't have investments for the future, you need to set up some. I don't care if you're putting $50 a month away. Do something. Do something so that something is being set aside for you for the future, for an emergency. You can't be an asset to your family, your friends, your community if they need you, maybe financially, and you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't help because, oh, sorry, man, I'm stretched too thin, I'm too tight, whatever. Everybody has the capability. You can find unneeded expenses in your life and trim them down.
Yeah.
You know, you can be an asset financially.
Start by looking at your – one of the biggest things I always tell people is cable bill. You don't need to have cable with the resources of Netflix, Hulu, all that junk. I mean, shit, our TV offers us free TV.
Yeah, we didn't even know.
We get Nickelodeon, Disney Channel. We don't even pay for it. We just watch free TV, and it's called, like, Pluto Network on our Vizio TVs. And even our – bedroom TV is a Samsung or something like that. It still offers free TV, which gives you local news and everything else. So it's like cut out the cable. You don't need it. And Cox charges way over what they should. My bill when I originally moved out, my internet and cable TV was $92. When we canceled it, what was that, last year, we were at $192, which is insane for basic cable and internet. And now we still pay like $100 for internet, which is insane.
So you look at all these unnecessary expenses. You have money just flowing out. All these little subscriptions, it's only $5, it's only $10, it's only $15. Well, yeah, man, but 10 of those is $150.
Yep.
You know, so...
Are you utilizing it?
Look at all these services that you pay for. Get rid of that stuff. Yeah. Literally sit down, look at your budget and go, what can I completely do without? Yeah. What can I do without? Start getting out of debt. Start living free. Don't be a slave to your paycheck.
And some
can't
debt,
be an asset if you're a slave to your
some
paycheck.
Some debt is good debt. You know, a house is a good debt. A car is a good debt. Those are all improving. Unfortunately, we live in this world where we have to have good credit. And you have to have some type of debt to show that you are a good person who can pay their bills on time, as weird as that is. But that's just the way that we live our life. So some debt is good debt. There's others that are bad debt. You have credit cards, pay them down to 20% and leave them there. Pay it off, go back up to 20. Pay it off, go back up to 20%. You go over 20% utilization on credit cards, instantaneous negative on your credit card report.
So we're talking about your emotional health, your physical health, your mental health, your financial health, your spiritual health. Look, I've been up and down this road my whole damn life.
Yeah.
Right? I thought I had it figured out, and then I've been wrong. And I thought I've had it figured out, and then I've been wrong. Whatever you believe, I do not give a shit. But figure it out.
Yeah.
So that you can assist those around you with their own system of beliefs. A belief in something greater than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
However you want to decipher that is important. You want to be a good asset. You got to get right with the fact that there's something better than you, bigger than you. There's a plan bigger than what your brain can put together. There's something bigger going on. If it's fucking aliens and pyramids, whatever. Okay, but there is something bigger going on. Is it Odin? Fine. Is God? Fine. Is Allah? Whatever. All right? Whatever your thing is, okay? Do your thing. But these are all aspects focusing on zone number one, self. When people want to be an asset to their family, their friends, their community, the first thing they do is try to go, okay, who can I help? Who can I serve? I'm going to lose myself in service. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to serve my community. I'm going to serve my family. I'm going to serve my friends. I'm going to serve. It's like, okay, great. How are you sleeping? How's your diet? How's your exercise? How's your own mental and physical? Oh, it's fine, man. I just go, 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 go. I serve, 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 serve. It's like, that's going to burn you out. It's going to burn you out. It's going to burn you down. You're not going to be able to do that for very long. And when that happens, then you're not going to be an asset. So you've got to learn how to handle yourself, zone one. Zone one is taking care of yourself. That's how you're going to be an asset to your family and community. And some people might have been hoping they were going to hear about skills, about small unit tactics, or perhaps building group survival kits, or maybe hosting community classes on Stop the Bleed. Yeah, yeah, all that's good shit. Fuck all that shit until you can do zone number one. Until you can do zone number one, you cannot effectively or efficiently do all that other stuff. You got to handle zone number one first. You want to be an asset? Handle yourself. You are your number one patient. You are your number one priority.
Yep.
And this is pot talking to kettle here, all right? Because that's my part of my problem. And sometimes this, sometimes our show has been almost therapeutic for me in a way that helps me to remember, oh, yeah, dumbass, you should be probably fucking doing that too, and stuff that we talk about here on the show or in training. And this is certainly one of those things. I get lost making sure everyone else is taken care of and often forget to take care of what I need to do. And that happens. You recognize that it happens and you fix that problem.
Yeah.
What do you got to add to this, Drew?
Always be in the willingness to learn, adapt, overcome, self-realization stage. Don't get comfortable. Don't get lazy. You know, if you want to be an asset, don't just be like, I'm good enough, and then call it quits and be like, I'm exactly where I want to be. I was exactly where I wanted to be a year ago, and then I got lazy, and now I've slowly went on the decline. So now it's self-realization time, back up to the incline of I let myself slip because I was comfortable with who I am. I was comfortable with my running. I was comfortable with my relationship. I was comfortable with everything else and how I was handling situations. And then it was just like I got comfortable and lazy and slipped. And I was like, I'll be better the next time. And then you get in this gnarly cycle where you end up being the person who you once was, who you don't want to be anymore. So don't let yourself get into that comfortable position. Always be focusing on something new. Always be, just like you said, there's that brain app where you play the games. Be doing something beneficial. That's all I have.
I'll go back to wrap things up today. I'll go back to a quote that Chris Howard from Veterans Breakthrough said on our show quite a while ago. He said, there are two fears that all people have. The fear of not being enough and the fear of not being loved. And those two fears drive people to forget to take care of themselves. You will be enough and you will be loved when you are the best version of yourself. That's when you will be the most enough and you'll realize you don't need to be enough for everybody else. You'll be plenty for yourself, and that's really the only validation you're going to need. and you will be loved. You'll finally love yourself, and that's the best love you can ever have. And other people will love you because of that. So yep. Maybe a different type of show today, but also go out, shoot stuff, blow things up, do all that cool shit. Yeah, yeah, like we normally talk about. But
and
don't forget zone number one, you guys.
Food for thought today. It is January 6th. Do you know what January 6th is?
January 6th?
Yeah.
No.
It's Christmas Eve in Serbian.
Oh, my God. I forgot tomorrow's Serbian Christmas. You forgot to remind me.
Merry, yeah, we were busy.
Merry Christmas, Serbia. Merry Christmas, Christmas Eve, Serbia. We'll have to do a late night. What does Santa Claus look like in Serbia? You deliver little landmines to all the good girls and boys? Or
we do, and we do a big, massive bonfire.
Yeah. You throw Bosnias in there? Is that what you stoke it with?
Yeah.
Okay.
We burn our enemies.
That's terrible. All right. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email info@trainingaz.com. We're happy to come out and offer any of our programs in your area. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to check out the other shows on the network. Next week, we're going to be talking about selecting EDC lights for everyone. Lots of different situations. We're going to actually be live again with video. We're going to do some light demonstrations on our video on Facebook. We'll talk them through things. But that's a really important topic that just, I think we did it a handful of months ago, but it bears repeating. So next week, selecting EDC lights for everyone. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.